Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And we're going to take care of a few things before we get to our callers here, though. Like I said, let me encourage you to stick with us here tonight, and hopefully we'll be a blessing in some way to you. Let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Pray you would bless the program. Help us, Lord, to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ, and help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And use the program for your glory and your purposes, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And first off, let me wish all the fathers out there a happy Father's Day. It's Father's Day today. And for just under an hour, just about 55 minutes or so left of Father's Day. So I won't be the first to wish you a happy Father's Day. Maybe I'll be the last to wish you happy Father's Day today. But hope you had a good day. Depending on where you were, you either were hot and sweaty, or you were hot and steamy, or you were soaked with the rain. There were some showers going through the area here, and we were dodging raindrops today, but we had a good time, and it was also my wife's birthday, and so we went to my daughter's house, and there were a number of people there, so we had several fathers and several birthdays all at the same time, so we had a combination Father's Day, birthday celebration, and we had a great time. I hope you had a good day today. And in between all that was sandwiched in between our morning service and our evening service. As I said, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We'll have more information of that coming up here later on. But a reminder, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you click on that link, you can go to, it links to our pages for our church as well. And also on that page, you can listen to past radio programs, and you can find them there as well. And you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com. I'm in the process of sharing over the Facebook channel for Live with Pastor Al over to our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And hopefully it's coming through on Facebook here. If not now, maybe in just a few moments. Working on that. Some other things we'll mention here in a little bit. But again, reminder, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we do have services going on by the grace of God. We have been able to continue during this time, during the pandemic fears. I know some churches have had to cancel, and valid reasons for it. I support churches that canceled for valid reasons. If God led them to do that. I also support churches that did not cancel if God led them to do that. And fortunately, we were in a situation where we did not have to cancel, and we were able to keep going, and we still continue going, and we enjoy the opportunity to serve God and to see God working in our midst. So we've actually had more people coming in some respects during this time than we would have otherwise, and so we're thankful for that. But again, I just want to reassure you, if you've been watching things happening on the world scene, I think your fears about the coronavirus pandemic are pretty well gone. The fears might not be gone, but the basis of them is gone. If you've been watching the calendar, we're a good 3 weeks beyond the demonstrations and the protests and the riots that began early in June, actually at the end of May 30th, going into the first week and all in June. And, you know, if you've been watching the news, I've not seen any spikes. I've not seen any hospitalizations. I've not seen any deaths attributed to people going out, engaging in the protests, the demonstrations, and the riots. If the doom and gloom and the naysayers and the fearmongers were correct about the virus, I remember the governor of New York, Governor Cuomo, emphatically saying, "The virus equals death. The virus equals death. Do you want to die?" Well, obviously, when we found out that the virus equals death was a gross exaggeration, only a small percentage, I think it's 98% or better of the people in the United States are unlikely to get the coronavirus and die. It's not much different than the flu for most people. Obviously, there are some people who are at risk, just like with the flu and with other things, and they should take precautions. But if I learned one thing, the riots and the demonstrations and the protests proved that the inordinate fear of getting out in public, mass gatherings, and going out and enjoying life, you don't have a whole lot to fear. Just to take care of yourself, wash your hands, you know, if you feel sick, stay away, and common sense things, just like you would do if you had the flu, or just like I hope you would do if you had the flu. So, having said all that, I do want to thank you for listening tonight. We're going to be touching on a few things. As I said, check us out online. And if you're having trouble listening, you can also listen online. You can click there for the links to listen live online. I wanted to mention, too, before we get going here, a reminder, there's a site called USA.life. USA.life. If you've been having trouble with Facebook and Twitter and things like that, shadow banning you and saying what you posted isn't true when you know that it is, and all those different problems that you're having there, why don't you check out USA.life? There's some Christians that are behind it, and it's a great place. It's a faith-friendly, patriotism-friendly social media site. And so let me encourage you, go there. You can check us out. You can look for Live with Pastor Al on USA.life. I've been on it now for a few months, and I've been pretty happy with it so far. So it's not perfect. It's got little quirks and everything, but I've been happy with it. And you might want to try that. You may be happy with it as well. All right. Well, again, like I said, our telephone number is toll-free. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we will get you on the air here with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and we're going to get into our callers here tonight. We got a couple people lined up. I think we're going to start with John first tonight. John, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Haven't heard you from you in a while there, John. How you been?
Okay. We had talked in the past about John 1:1.
All right. John chapter 1, verse 1. Yes. Let me get turned over there.
I was wondering, how many persons do you feel are mentioned in that verse?
How many what?
Persons.
How many persons? Well, one.
One person?
Yeah, one person, God. Now, if you want to look at it this way, we can see God in the person of the Son and God in the person of the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God and the Word are synonymous. This is a passage that actually teaches the deity of Jesus Christ. He is the Word incarnate. In fact, if there's any doubt that this is the Word, or that the Word is Jesus, in verse 14, same chapter, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so, yeah, so we see Jesus born into the world there. We further know that this is God because, let me just flip over here real quick to Hebrews. In Hebrews.
I'm surprised that you said that you believe that God is only one person. I understood.
No, we only have one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. But let me come back here a second, one more. Just let me give me this last one here, and then we'll catch up with that. In Hebrews chapter 1, and God, it says in chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So we're talking about God, we're talking about God the Father, we're talking about God the Son here. And just for time's sake, let me jump down here a little bit here, where it says, In verse number 6, it says, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him." And then in verse 8, it says, "But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." So God the Father calls Jesus the Son God. So God's calling God God, because Jesus is God, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. They're not three gods. Now, when people talk about the triunity or the Trinity of God, the Godhead, they'll often express it as three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to draw distinction between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Just like you are John, the physical body, you are John, the spirit that animates that body, and you are John, the soul that makes decisions and directs that body, but you're all three John. You're not three separate entities. You're one entity. You're one creation of God that has the name John, but you're three aspects of your person, body, soul, and spirit, because we're creating the image of the triune God.
So you don't feel that the Father and the Son are separate persons?
Well, I just explained. They're separate and distinct in the Godhead, just like your body is distinct from your soul. God the Son, the physical manifestation of God, is distinct from God the Father, which would be the equivalent, or our equivalent would be analogous, our soul would be analogous to God the Father. Because it's God the Father that tells Jesus what to do. Jesus said he did that which the Father tells him to do. So our body is supposed to do what our soul, that's the mind, the intellect, the emotion, the will, that tells our body what to do. So, but we're not three separate individuals. We're one person manifest in a body, a soul, and a spirit, because we're in the image of the triune God, who is one God, as the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God." He's one God, one Lord. And over in 1 John chapter 5, where it says, "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." So one God, we don't worship three gods. But however you want to express it, as you want, if you want to express it as the person of the Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit, then you could say, yeah, three persons in that sense, but it's sort of semantics. We're talking about the three elements of the Godhead, one God with three elements. If you want to use the word person, you can. So I tend to avoid that, even though a lot of fundamental Christians say it that way, just to avoid the confusion, because we have one God who is manifested, who exists just like you exist as a body, a soul, and a spirit, God exists as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are separate but equal. Each one individually can be referred to as God, just like your physical body can be referred to as John, your soul can be referred to as John, your spirit can be referred to as John, but they're three separate. They're not exactly the same. They're separate. They're distinct. Your body, your soul, and spirit are distinct from each other, but collectively, those three distinct aspects of your being reflect the one being, the one individual person that we identify as John. That's what I'm saying about God.
Would it be fair to say that your position would border on modalism?
Well, you can call it whatever you want. I'm just going by what the Bible says, because in Genesis chapter 1, it's very clear what God said here. He said in Genesis chapter 1, and let's see here, in verse number 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So we have a plural statement being used in relation to a singular God that reflects his plural nature. I don't know how you could call that monolism if you want to call that I don't believe in a distinction between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because as I've just said several times now, I definitely believe and teach there's distinction between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but there's not three gods working in a committee. There's one God, and that one God has three aspects to his existence, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so then it's after giving us the plural reference to the singular God here in verse 26, it says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So we're creating God's image. So how are we creating God's image? Well, you see that in chapter 2 where God forms Adam. The Bible says here in, let me drop down here, chapter 2 to verse number 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So there's the body of Adam which is formed. That body is Adam. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That breath and spirit are synonymous. This is the spirit that's known as Adam. And the man became a living soul. This is the mind, the personality, emotion, the intellect, the will of Adam. And so this is Adam the body, Adam the spirit, Adam the soul. And it's not three Adams joined together like some kind of personality disorder. This is one Adam with three distinct aspects to his existence, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And that reflects, as I said, the triune image of God. He's not three gods united in a committee. He's one God with three distinct aspects to his existence, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so, as I said, our body is analogous to the Son, our spirit is analogous to the Holy Ghost, and our soul is analogous to the Father.
You mentioned Genesis 1:26.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that one person talking to another?
That's God talking to himself. Haven't you ever talked to yourself?
No.
Well, I find that hard to believe. You've never thought about something and said, you know, I think I ought to do this instead of that. That's talking to yourself. Well, you're an amazing person, John. I think you're one of probably the few people in the world that's never talked to himself. So if you've never talked to yourself, we can't use such an outstanding exception to the vast majority of people in the world to redefine the nature of God based on something that's not the norm of most people. My physical body talks to me in the sense that if I get up in the middle of the night and I walk through a dark room and I stub my toe tells my brain, hey, there's something here, turn the light on. maybe not in quite those words, but I get it in a pain. If I put my hand on a hot burner and I'm not looking, my hand tells me in no uncertain terms, hey, get your hand off this hot burner. So my body talks to me in that sense. And, you know, we could go on and on with examples. So if you're going to use yourself as an example that's obviously exceptional compared to the vast majority of people listening, we can't let the outlier redefine the norm. So
you're saying that John 1:1 is one person then, right?
Is one God. It's one God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How many gods are there?
Well, you're saying...
No, how many gods are there, John? Just answer my question a second. We can't move until you answer the question. How many gods are referenced in John chapter 1, verse 1?
Well, I'm asking you if you...
No, how many gods are... We can't move on from this, John, unless you answer the question. That's how we have a conversation. We have to establish base points that we can agree or disagree on and then move on to something else. So how many gods are in chapter 1 do you believe?
It was God talking to God.
Oh, very good. So God talks to himself. You don't talk to yourself. God talks to himself. I talk to myself. Most people listening talk to themselves. You're the exception. So why would I use you as the exception to redefine the nature of God? I fail to follow that.
Because there was two persons there.
You just told me there's one God there.
But two persons.
Well, you know, We've discussed this before. If you want to refer to it as two persons, that's fine. What I simply said is I tend to avoid that sometimes because it gets confusing, which people are now being confused. But it's one God, and we see two aspects of God's existence. God the Father, God the Son are mentioned there.
Don't you think it's more than an aspect?
Well, is your body an aspect of your existence? Well, if you can't answer that, I guess we'll have to go on from there. I mean, it's, people throw these things out and, you know, what do you do with them? You know, obviously your body is an aspect of your existence. Your spirit is an aspect of your existence. Your soul is an aspect of your existence. They're all three different. If you want to call that three persons, that's fine. It's terminology. Because God the Father is distinct from God the Son. God the Son is distinct from God the Spirit. But they're all three compose the Godhead, which is God. So, at any rate, thanks for the call. We'll move on. We've got Mark from Marysville, Ohio, calling in tonight. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Not too bad. I seriously doubt if you remember me, but I called in a couple years ago when there was a really bad drug problem right near where I live, right next door,
like okay,
50 yards away. That was like 4 years ago it started, and it took about 2 years for it to be completely gone by the grace of God. But in the midst of that, literally when it started, the night it started 4 years ago, July 8th coming up, there was an individual that moved in who was a former drug user, now a raging alcoholic, and he almost got arrested by the police for obstruction of justice. There was other things he did just to basically help perpetuate the problem and slandered yours truly.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the only one calling the cops and stuff. And, I mean, a ton of slander, using a pellet gun to shoot, you know, wildlife in the area. And just he's nuts. Drunk all the time, etc. And I have resisted the urge to lash out at him. By the grace of God, I've kept my cool. However,
right.
I feel he crossed a line, not with me personally, but last October, a one-year-old and two-year-old little kids were running upstairs in the apartment up above at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and this guy, probably drunk out of his gourd, and I think of that verse, you know, where Jesus says those that offend one of these little ones, it were better if they, you know, a millstone were hung around their neck. This guy yelled and screamed and F-bombed these little kids and the girls that were living upstairs that still live there that were babysitting those two little kids. And I found out that for a fact a week later from the girls, and they were, I mean, they're,
yeah. I was going to let you know we had a couple of minutes here too, so
sure.
Just a couple of minutes.
Anyhow,
left.
This guy is nothing but trouble. Mm-hmm. The slander with me is one thing, but honestly, I would appreciate prayers that God would remove him from this small apartment complex, because he's nothing but trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm tired of biting my lip with somebody that has slandered me for like 2 years
mm-hmm.
over nothing. And I do background checks on myself for my business. I don't have anything, and I can prove it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any, you know, crimes or nothing.
Yeah.
But it's been a real grief of mine, like Esau's wives were to Rebekah and Isaac.
Yeah.
A real grief of mine, and I'm just tired of the skirting of the law, the flaunting mm-hmm. of the law, plus the danger he has posed with other
yeah.
things, regards to fires and stuff. He's had things catch on fire, and he's just...
Well, is there like a building supervisor or landlord or something that some of these things can be mentioned to?
My landlord is a 33rd degree Freemason, and he's mm-hmm. 86 years old, and he is the most easily buffaloed person I've ever met.
Hmm.
And this neighbor has a real ability to buffalo him, and I basically would just like the Lord to just
yeah.
This guy would find a better place to live and just leave. You know.
Well, you know, and to your point there about praying about that, I remember somebody, a friend of mine, sometimes this is several years ago. This is probably about 4 or 5 years ago, easily, maybe closer to 10, where he had a roommate that was into drugs and sketchy people coming and going all the time, and we prayed, and it took about a year. And God moved him out of there. Moved him out of there. So let me encourage people to pray for you, Mark, and your situation with the building there. And coming up on the break now, I hope you keep listening. Please pray for Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find out more about us, more about our church, just go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. All right, we're going to get into a couple things. Oh, before I mentioned and into our callers, reminder again, we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, but also East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. The Garfield Heights High School might be closed right now, but East Coast Pizza is open. You can find them right there, 4889 Turney Road. You can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and to let them know you heard about it right here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to move ahead back into our calls. Like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, you can call us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Nancy. Nancy's been waiting longer. We're going with Nancy here. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call. And I just really enjoy your Bible study on Friday nights. And you know, it was so filled up on Friday night.
Oh, we had to get more chairs out, didn't we?
I was going to say.
It's kind of nice.
You're almost running out of room. And should we keep promoting it? Will you have space for even more people? Because there was 20 or 25 people there. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, is it possible to, you know, accommodate more people, or should we stop promoting it?
No, we keep promoting it. We accommodate more people, and if need be, we'll get a bigger place.
Oh, okay. Now, tonight I wanted to talk about that fabulous speech that President Trump, you know, gave last night in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I listened to that myself, yes.
Oh, I was cheering. I was so happy that he was so lively and covered so many topics, you know, without notes. He just talks off the cuff and just, you know, he just had the audience spellbound with all of, well, he's such a, you know, good entertainer. But, I mean, he talked about things that were important, you know, about political issues that are important to the country. And then I was thinking about the, you know, how the big fuss that the mainstream media had about him having this huge number of people there when they thought nothing of, you know, all the rioters and those that were protesting, you know, breaking down doors.
Yep.
So I was thinking, now, do you think that the Bible verse, Matthew 7:5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Would that apply to the all the critics of President Trump when they were saying he shouldn't have a big rally when they saw nothing wrong with, you know, all the rioters? I mean, they were destructive. I mean, the people that came to the rally, they were, you know, very law-abiding. Do you think that would apply or not?
Oh, well, we could, I suppose we can kind of force an application into there, because that's dealing more, well, I mean, it's dealing with the idea of judgment, and specifically the person that's guilty of greater things, trying to call everybody's attention to somebody who's guilty of something a little more insignificant, you know, the beam, you know, like a log in your eye, as opposed to somebody having a little splinter in his, a little mote, a little tiny piece of wood, hardly even significant at all. But we do see that, you know, it's just like, give you a for instance, when when people were protesting the coronavirus shutdowns in various state capitals. They were told that they were a danger to society. They were going to spread the coronavirus and grandma was going to die as a direct result of that. Then when they had the protests, the demonstrations, and the riots, the same people, the same nearly 1,300 healthcare professionals and different ones that signed an open letter early in June that had been telling people it was dangerous to go protest stay-at-home orders, now we're saying we need to encourage people to get out because this is important and it's safe to get out and demonstrate. And of course, you know, there's been no promotion of a huge uptick in cases and hospitalizations and deaths resulting from the people getting the virus. Now, there's plenty of people who were hospitalized and even died as a result of the riots and the demonstrations, but we haven't heard a whole lot about people dying or being hospitalized because they've got COVID-19 from going to the demonstrations, riots, and protests. But now, all of a sudden, with the Trump rally in Oklahoma, last night on Channel 5, here locally on Channel 5 News, they actually stated that Oklahoma already has an increase in coronavirus cases due to the rally. The lights weren't even off in the auditorium. And they're claiming an uptick from the rally. That's ludicrous. That is the most unscientific statement in the world. It takes 10 to 14 days to incubate. If there's going to be an uptick, it's not going to be for nearly 2 weeks. And yet they're already saying there's an increase due to the rally.
Oh,
but yet there was no increase due to the protests and demonstrations and riots. So, again, this is the hypocrisy. And so, in a sense, you know, they're guilty of much more than having just a log in their eye or a beam in their eye as they're talking about this. So,
now, but can you think of a good Bible verse for, you know, it just seems to me that maybe a kindergartner could see the inconsistency of, you know, they're saying that it's perfectly okay for all these people, you know, the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter, all these people shoulder to shoulder. I mean, it seems like a six-year-old could see the hypocrisy in there. It's so obvious, and do they not have any self-insight into this, you know, I hate to say stupidity of the statements that they make?
Well,
unless they're so consumed with the Trump derangement syndrome that they can't.
That's part of it. That's part of it. Another part of it is there are people who have an agenda. For instance, you know, the cloth mask. We were talking about this earlier, before the radio program. The cloth mask that they're telling people you have to wear it. If you don't wear it, you're going to kill grandma again by not wearing a cloth mask wherever you go. And yet the cloth mask only filters out, what, 4 or 5% of the particles?
Yeah, I did hear that.
One of my favorite memes was I saw somebody, a thing where they said they're putting this cloth mask on to filter out coronavirus. And another guy's building a chain link fence. And they said, so why are you building the fence? And he said, to keep mosquitoes out.
Oh, I did see that.
I mean, it's about the sense of it.
Exactly. An excellent analogy.
Except the chain link fence would keep more mosquitoes out than the cloth mask would keep out coronavirus. So,
yeah.
It's hypocrisy. It's people not using their brains to do more than keep their ears apart. So.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call. If you have other callers, is Tom waiting?
Tom is waiting. We're going to get to him after you.
It was good to see him Friday night.
Yeah, it was good to see you Friday night as well. And
I enjoyed it very much.
Like I said, we had a great problem Friday night. We had to get more chairs out. That's always a good problem.
Yeah,
so.
You seem to be getting more and more popular. Well, thank you for taking my call, and happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Nancy. And okay, you take care.
Have a blessed evening.
You too. God bless. Thanks. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we got our toll-free number, 888-677-9673, and we've got Tom calling in. Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Well, thank you, and happy Father's Day to you.
Well, and happy Father's Day to you as well. Thank you very much.
And I say praise the Lord for all the fathers out there who love the Lord and care about their families.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding that first caller, you know, Pastor, I think you really presented that well and in your explanation. But, you know, a long time ago, of course, I was raised with the idea that we expressed, you know, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as three persons in
right.
one. Three persons in one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I've always referred to them as persons, or I'll
yeah.
say, when I express myself, I'll say God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's the way I usually express it. And because and I'm glad you brought.
A lot of people don't even express the Holy Spirit
yeah.
as God. I mean,
yeah.
it's almost like they're calling him an it or something.
Yeah, and let me clarify something on that, because actually John usually has an agenda when he calls.
Yeah,
and his agenda is.
Really, sometimes you read too much into things and you confuse yourself.
And plus he was trying to set the stage for something else, and that's why I was kind of making the distinction about the Godhead and whether or not you use the term person. He was building up to the three separate gods. You know,
I know exactly where he was going.
He was trying to
establish that might be your belief.
Yeah, and the historic Trinitarian view, which is what I was describing, he tried to call modalism, and probably he used the one word that I said when I used the word aspect, and that might not have been the best choice of words, because
yeah.
for the people who teach the what he was talking about, the modalism, they teach that there's one God with different modes of interacting with us, and he interacts in one mode or manifestation, and I'll sometimes use the word manifestation, and that's where some of these terms get a little crazy, because
I try to get with what the Bible says.
I
do believe in the distinctive identity of the Trinity.
Exactly. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are distinct individual, and that's where I use the word aspects, because just like I was explaining, we're in the image of God, and we're a triunity as well, because your body is you, but your body is not your spirit, and your spirit is you, but your spirit is not your soul, and your soul is you, but it's not your body. Each three is distinctly you, if we wanted to put it this way, co-equal and of the same.
I believe it was, of course, you know, some of my people came from Ireland, so my granny she came here when she was 16, but they'd always send her a shamrock from Ireland in the spring, and you know, my mother had saved some of those, but they got so old and everything. But anyway, you know, it's like, I think it was St. Patrick who expressed it, tried to explain the Trinity to people by the shamrock,
the three leaves and yet one shamrock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was told a long time ago by a pretty wise priest. He said, don't try to figure everything out about the Trinity. He says, we know that God is one, and he said he's representative of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he said, there are some things that are a mystery that we'll never understand this side of heaven.
And there is truth to that. And that's why I always try to go back to the Bible, because most of the illustrations and analogies that people try to use to explain the Trinity, it's like somebody will talk about water. It exists as either ice or liquid water or steam.
And I don't have to understand everything about the Bible to believe it and accept it as God's truth.
Yeah, and see, that's where, like I said, I went back to Genesis.
I was reading that verse before you went to Genesis.
Because it says very plainly, we're created in the image of God. So we see created a three-part being, Adam, a body which is distinct from the spirit, which is distinct from the soul. In fact, the body existed before the spirit or soul existed. The spirit was breathed into the body, and then the spirit existed before the soul existed, and then he became a living soul. So now all three are separate, but equally Adam. And that's what I was trying to say to the caller.
No, I think you did very well with it, and I'll say this much. It's a good thing we're not all pastors, because it's like we're all called to bear witness and to teach what we know. But you guys that are pastors, you've got a challenging job sometimes.
Well, when it comes to things like that, Proverbs 25:2, I love this verse. It says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter." My wife likes to do word searches, and Lauren, some of our listeners know Lauren, she's sitting across from me doing word searches right now, and she likes to do word searches, and some others in our church like to do word searches. I like to make word searches, and I like to watch people do them and find the words. So I like to hide the words in there, and my enjoyment with the word search is watching people work it and try to find what I hid in there. And so in that respect, I can kind of identify with Proverbs 25:2, where the Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, because that's what you do when you make a puzzle, right? You conceal something. The honor of kings is to search out a matter. So people who like working the puzzle, they get the enjoyment of working it out, trying to figure it out. And of course, God gets the enjoyment of watching them do that. He's created something, you know, to the people get to enjoy trying to search out. And I enjoy doing that with the Bible, learning things and trying to search things out. And I agree, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. So we keep searching it out. And this concept of the Trinity, the Godhead, one God, the Bible's very clear on that. There's not three gods. There's only one God. But the Bible is also very clear that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are distinctly different from each other, distinctly separate from each other, but yet co-equal and God, the Godhead.
And I, too, have observed over the years how some people who call themselves Christians, but necessarily maybe they aren't, have always, you know, there are some groups, and you know that as well, religious groups that actually place the deity of Christ somewhere beneath the Father.
Oh, yeah. And
being equal.
Yeah.
When you think about it, I always thought, well, you know, I'm my Father's son.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make me lesser than my Father as a person. It only puts me in a different position.
Yeah. Well, and also our caller, when they try to get you to, they try to trip you up and make you think that you're teaching polytheism. In fact, that's what the Muslims refer to Christians as, really, as polytheists, because we believe in three gods.
Yeah,
we believe in one God named the Father, one God named the Son, and one God named the Holy Spirit. And that's absolutely not true. We believe in one God, but he exists in the Godhead, so he exists in the person of the Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit.
Well, and I think the Lord gives wisdom to the humble, and I think we all need to be a little more humble sometimes, you know?
Yeah. So we just keep plugging away at it. And
By the way, I do talk to myself, too.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's a rarity. He's about the only person I know in the world doesn't talk to himself.
Well, God bless him, and I hope that, you know, my advice to him is you don't have to understand everything to believe the Word of God.
Well, and you don't have to understand every single minute detail of God's attributes in order to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins, that he was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. And if you don't put your faith in Christ, you can't be saved.
That's exactly right. We don't have to prove the Trinity because the word doesn't appear in the Bible.
Yeah. You don't have to prove that to be saved. You just accept it by faith.
The Son and the Holy Spirit are through the entire book.
Right. And so we that's why I try to go with what the Bible says.
Amen. So. Great show, Pastor. And
well, thank you, Tom.
It really was a blessing on Friday night. So.
Well, God bless. I appreciate that. And we're going to jump over to Terry. So thanks for calling, Tom. Appreciate
okay,
that call. God bless. And Terry, welcome to the program here. We'll get you in here yet tonight.
How are you?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Good. I didn't get a chance to listen to the whole show. I started working for a delivery service. So
oh, okay.
A little later tonight than usual, but mm-hmm. I tried to listen in. But
things getting back to business in Canada much?
Yeah, and the churches are starting to get more.
Good.
30% of the capacity is allowed, of the capacity of the church is allowed to go back. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a good thing.
And, well, yeah. So, hey, we're getting down to less than five, about 4 minutes or so. So I guess we'll have to quickly get into here.
Yeah, I wanted to emphasize a little bit more on that about who Jesus is. I've been back studying about the Jehovah's Witnesses again.
And, oh yeah, they believe he's a lesser god, a created right. being,
a god,
father. They actually believe he's Michael the Archangel, really.
Right, right. And I don't know how they can believe that he's an angel and being Michael the Archangel. Be lower than, and when the scripture says lower than the angels in Hebrews, but
yeah,
I was going to mention that it says that in Isaiah 43, it's simple.
Oh yeah,
I am the Lord, and besides me, there's no other Savior.
Yeah, in fact,
how plain can that be?
Yeah, that section that you were just at, I always encourage people start about Isaiah 43 where you were at there. And just go through there. Let me just flip over there real quick. Starting in Isaiah 43, and I know I have to watch the time because we're fast running out here. He says in verse 10, this also, the Mormons have a real problem with this too, because he says in verse 10, the end of the verse, I am he, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Verse 11, I am the Lord, beside me there is no Savior. Chapter 44, verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, beside me there is no God. The end of verse 8, is there God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any. That's pretty convincing, isn't it? It keeps on going, Isaiah 44, 45, 46.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's the reason why I can't understand why the Jehovah's Witnesses can believe that Jesus is a God when there's no other God but one.
Well, yeah.
Jesus is God, manifested in the flesh.
Yeah, they take the things about the first begotten out of context. They forget that the Bible says distinctly that he's the first begotten of the dead, meaning he's the first in the resurrection. He's the first begotten of creation in the sense that he's the first the first being in all of creation to experience the resurrection, the first of the of that. It says in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Colossians 1 verse 18 reflects that, and unfortunately, I don't really have time to turn to it right now. But it's a misunderstanding of that which forced them to change John chapter 1 verse 1 to in the beginning. From in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. To in the beginning was the Word, and the Word in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God with a little G. That's how they changed it.
Yeah, and that was somebody that was practicing divination.
Yes, the person, Johann Gerber, defrocked Roman Catholic priest, by his own admission, received that translation from a devil, from a demon.
That's right.
So that was their sole basis for that change.
I like to say, I have a real zeal for Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and people that are, you know, that don't really understand who Jesus
yeah.
is. And the sad thing about it is that, you know, if they don't come to the understanding knowledge of the Lord Jesus
yeah.
Christ,
exactly.
they're doomed for eternity.
Yeah, they have no security and right. because they don't know Christ. And unfortunately, we're out of time here ourselves right now, Terry. So appreciate you bringing that up again. And hope stay well. Hope the job continues to work out for you. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight and say happy Father's Day one final time. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.